up. All right, the primary recording is up. Now I'm going to get the secondary recording, the one that will actually go into the portal, the clean version. All righty, we're going to go ahead and dive on in. All right, hey guys, how's it going? Amanda GP here, and we've got Min Ling on the line as well from the Fame Effect. And in this training, this is our signature talk workshop. So we're going to walk you through everything you need to know to design your signature talks or your signature speeches. So by the end of this presentation, you're going to understand exactly how to select the big ideas that you design your signature speeches around. So essentially, how do you come up with your signature speech topics? You're going to know exactly how to turn those ideas into captivating speeches that get you rounds of applause and get you credit cards too, because you don't just want the applause, you want the money too. And you're going to discover how you're going to get a turnkey template that's going to guide you in easily bringing that speech to life. So I'm going to walk you through what some of the components of the speeches are, I don't know the correct English there, but you're going to learn the components of a speech, and you're going to be, and I'm going to give you an example so that you can actually go ahead and get your speech to life as well. So the first place that I want to start with this is just, what is a signature speech and what are we really talking about here? Because I want to make sure that you're really clear on what we're trying to create before we dive into how to actually do it. So a signature speech is a virtual or in-person presentation or talk that you repeatedly deliver and become known for. It conveys your core message, setting the audience in the exact frame of mind that you need them to be to buy your core paid offers. So it really encompasses those core messages, those core pieces of information that you need your audience to know before you offer them anything. And it really encompasses everything that you want to become known for. So just as an example, my realm of expertise is, it's very varied. Because I started out in a web design agency, and then I opened up a virtual assistant business, and then I opened up a Facebook ad business, and now I'm opening up an e-commerce business. Like, I've got all these, you know, different businesses in these different realms of expertise. I'm great at Facebook ads, publicity, sales funnels, telesummits, free gifts, webinars, Facebook groups, cash injections, different business models, all these different things. So I could potentially have talks around all of these things, right? But I want to be known for working smarter, not harder. I want to be known as the anti-hustle coach. I'm the person who you come to when you want to make more money with less effort. Okay, so that's my signature talk, because that's what I want to become known for, and that's the frame of mind that I want my audience in before I offer them something. I want them in the frame of mind of, if you want to make more money with less effort, Amanda's the person to go to. I don't want them in the frame of mind that if you want to learn about Facebook ads, Amanda's the person you should go to, because that's not congruent with the things I'm going to end up selling. Like, I know Facebook ads, but I don't have core programs and core offerings about Facebook ads, so it wouldn't be congruent, right? So that's what I want to be known for. That's the positioning that all of my offers are designed around. So that's what my signature talk should be around as well. So that's what a signature talk is. Now, why create a signature speech? Because, you know, some people, they might look at this and say, well, that's great that Amanda can talk on all of these different things, because then she's more likely to get booked because she's more versatile. You know, she has all these different things that she can talk about. So there's going to be different things that different hosts and audiences are going to want to learn about. So she's more likely to get booked with all these different topics. And then she can meet people where they're at with what they're interested in. So yeah, there are some of those benefits that I just mentioned to having a bunch of different speeches, but there's way more benefits to having a signature speech or just a couple core signature speeches. A signature speech allows you to rinse and reuse the same speech rather than having to always create something new from scratch. Can you imagine having to write 20 different speeches on all of your different realms of expertise? That would be freaking draining. And then having to memorize all of them and perfect all of them, oy, that would not be fun. It's so much easier to just, you know, have a couple core speeches, get really, really good at them, memorize them, and then you're golden. A signature speech also allows for you to master and perfect getting your core message across to your ideal clients, because not only is it more work for you to just have to memorize these speeches, you get less practice on them if you end up having, you know, 20 different speeches. If you have a ton of different speeches, because you're doing them less often, because you're switching around all the different speeches all the time, you're going to have less practice in them, which means you're not going to get as good at them. You're not going to be able to master them. You're going to forget that, like, by the time that you get back to speech number one, you're going to have forgotten it because you hadn't done it in so long. A lot of keynote speakers that you see out there doing speeches at, you know, conferences, at universities, they're doing the same stuff every time. They're doing the same core speeches every single solitary time. And they're really, really freaking good at it because they've perfected it, because they've done it so many times. And you're going to get really, really good at not just doing this speech, but speaking to your ideal clients because you're mastering your message through your speech. A signature speech also allows for you to become known for something, which makes you more memorable, and it makes you more tag worthy. Meaning, like, when you're in Facebook groups and you see people saying, hey, who can help me grow my Facebook group? Well, if you're known for Facebook, your Facebook group speech, you're known for helping people grow their Facebook groups, you're going to be the one that gets tagged. If someone says, hey, who can help me, you know, make high ticket sales? And your speech is about high ticket sales, and you've become known for helping people make high ticket sales, you're going to be the one that gets tagged. But if no one knows what you're an expert at, if no one, like, thinks of you when it comes to a specific topic, they're not going to tag you. So rather than being like this general catch-all type of person, I recommend becoming known for a specific thing that people can remember you for. Okay? So that's why I recommend you have a signature speech. Now, when should you write it? When should you actually get the speech written? So put simply, if you plan on speaking live or virtually, whether that's, you know, on a stage, at a conference, a university, whatever, or virtually in a podcast, a telesummit, or even just in your own webinars, like, this is technically a speech, you need a signature speech. Now, that being said, you don't actually have to write the speech right now. What you can do instead is you can outline it. You can create the marketing material for it. And then when you actually get booked for the speech, then you can write it. Okay, like, I actually have, if you go to my media page, there's four core speeches on there that lead into specific offerings. And one of the four I've never delivered. I've never been on stage doing that speech. I haven't pitched it anywhere virtually yet. So I've never done that speech. So I don't have it written. But you can go onto my media page and you can see it. You have the one sheet. And when I'm ready to go pitch myself virtually and for probably virtually, I don't really do in-person speaking, but when I go pitch myself virtually for this topic, I'm going to have all the marketing collateral created. So you can create the marketing material for it, meaning, you know, the title, the description, and maybe a one sheet. Like, if you go to marketlikeanerd.com/speaking-media, you can see my one sheets. And I believe we gave some examples last week. If we didn't, I'll put them in the portal later. But you can create the marketing material, like the title, the description, the one sheets right now. And then once you're booked for the speech, live or virtual, then you can write it, because that's when you're actually going to need it. So that's what signature speeches are. That's why they're important for you to have. That's when to create them. Now, how do you figure out your topics? How do you figure out what to talk about or what to become known for? So here's a really simple process for coming up with what you want your topics for your signature talks to be. And I find that most people have anywhere between 1 and 4 signature talks. Any more than that, and you're not really nailing down what you want to become known for. So 1 to 4 is usually like a pretty good range to stick within for, and the other thing is any more than 4 and you're gonna have a really hard time memorizing that many speeches and perfecting that many speeches. So try to stick to 1 to 4 signature talks, 1 to 4 signature speeches, core topics, core things that you want to become known for. Okay. So here's how to come up with those topics. What you're going to do is you're going to start by determining your ideal client's point A. And if you have a pen and a piece of paper, now might be a good time to start writing down. So what is your ideal client's point A? Meaning, where are they starting at right now? What's their problem? What's their status quo? So you figure that out. Then you're going to figure out what's your ideal client's point B, meaning where do they want to go? What's the transformation that they're looking for? What's the desired outcome of your work with them? So determine the point A, determine the point B, where they're at now, where they want to go, and then figure out the steps in between. So what is your system that you walk them through in order to get them from point A to point B? When you know this, when you know the point A, the point B, the steps in between, that is your signature system. And you'll find, we're not going to go into depth in signature systems in this program, but you'll find that when you have a signature system that you feel really good about, that you've perfected, that you know works for your clients, everything in your business is going to be designed around this. Your talks are going to be designed around this system. Your free offers are going to be designed around this system. Your paid offers are going to be designed around this system. Your content for your newsletters, your vlogs, your podcasts, it's all going to be designed around this system. So it's worth really nailing it down. Now, what will happen with your speeches is your entire signature system is one speech. So walking people through every single solitary step, just kind of overviewing what the steps are, that overview, that's one speech. And then each step could also be its own speech. So let me give you an example. Here's one example. For my Operation Cash Flow clients, their point A is they have inconsistent cash flow. They're on a revenue roller coaster, struggling to pay themselves month to month. That's where they're at right now. Where they want to go is they want consistent cash flow so that they can pay themselves reliably every single solitary month without fail. And the steps that I teach to make that happen are cash injection, list, build, launch. So they got to do cash injections to get some quick money in the door. Then they've got to build up traffic and then learn how to put offers in front of that traffic. Cash injection, list, build, launch. So that's my signature system for Operation Cash Flow clients. So my talk topics that I chose out of this system is the consistent cash flow plan, where I basically just overview those three steps. It's me just giving a general overview of my entire system. And then I also pulled the launch portion out, that step, and I pulled that out. And I said, okay, that's a topic I could totally talk about just by itself. List building, I don't really want to do a whole speech about that. Cash injection, I don't really want to do a whole speech about that either. I really want people to just pay me to learn the cash injections. I don't really want to give that away too much for free. But launching, I could totally talk about that in a speech, and I'd be cool with that. So, and that, I think if I talk about it in an anti-launch format, it sets people up to think about me in a work smarter, not harder sort of fashion, where I'm not telling them to do a traditional type of launch. I'm doing a smart launch. So that was my frame of mind there. I'm going to do one speech that just overviews all three steps. I don't want to talk about cash injections in its own speech. I don't want to talk about list building in its own speech, but I could talk about launching in its own speech. So that'll be another core topic. That'll be another core signature speech, the anti-launch plan. There we go. So that's one example. Another example, so this is for my operation automation clients. Their point A is they are making money. They're not struggling month to month. They're already at least six figures, but the problem is they're working really hard. They're hustling. They're working overtime, and the business is just, it's exhausting. So their point B, where they want to go, is they want a more sustainable and scalable business, one that allows for them to make more money with less effort. And the steps that I teach them to get them from that point A to that point B are leverage, automate, delegate. You have to have leveraged offers, automated marketing, and delegate so that the effort's not on your plate, it's on someone else's. And I didn't want to talk about leverage on its own. I don't think that there's enough there necessarily to make it its own speech. Delegation, honestly, I've talked about that on its own before, and it's just kind of boring for me. So I didn't really want to talk about it. And I've seen in my stats, like in my podcast stats, when I talk just about delegation, like when I have an episode that's just about delegation, there's not as many listens. But if I can kind of weave it into other talks, then it's fine. So I didn't want to talk about delegation on its own. Automation, I probably could. I probably could do a speech that's just about automation. I ended up deciding not to. In the future, I might change my mind that I might end up doing like maybe a sales funnel speech. But for now, the talk topic I created out of this signature system was the Work Smarter Blueprint. And basically, I just overview leverage, automate, delegate. So that entire system, those three steps, becomes the signature talk. I'm overviewing those three steps. So those are a couple of examples for how you can come up with your talk topics. So determine your ideal client's point A, determine your ideal client's point B, figure out what those steps are in between, and that becomes your signature system, which you can then just turn into a speech that overviews that entire system and just kind of walks people through those steps. Or you can even pull some of those steps out and the steps become speeches. All right. So that's how to come up with your topics. Now, once you come up with the topics, you're going to have to write or at least outline the speech itself. So let's talk about what the speech looks like and what the, you know, flow of the actual talk is going to look like. So there's a couple of core components that I find within pretty much every single solitary speech out there. I've learned speaking from a lot of different coaches, and actually it was kind of funny. I was going through a lot of those trainings just to kind of brush up on it, and I noticed that literally every single solitary speaking coach I've ever hired has taught the same exact format. They've just called it different things. So I think that, you know, that says something. I think that says that this format, it works. It works for many, many people across many, many industries. So I'm going to teach you the same sort of format that I've been using and that my speaking coaches have taught to me. And just know that if you learn this from anyone else, it's probably the same thing. It's just that they're calling it slightly different things. So typically, with your talks, you want to start out with some sort of hook, something that makes people go, wow, like immediately, right in the beginning, that really captures their attention, because you want them to keep listening. You want them to like sit up in their seats, you know, straight back, and their eyes are locked on you for the rest of the presentation. If in the first couple minutes your presentation doesn't capture their attention, they're going to go, they're going to get on their phone, they're going to be looking around the room, and or if it's a virtual presentation, they're going to go on Facebook because, you know, you didn't hook them. You want to get them to stay. You want to get them to decide that they're going to give you their attention and they're going to listen for the rest of the speech. You want to wow them immediately, right away. So you got to hook them. And this could be done with a shocking statistic, a shocking story. It could be done with a question. Like maybe you ask them a question and they have to raise their hand and that gets their attention because it gets them into action. It gets them engaged. So whether it's with a shocking statistic, a shocking story, or just a question that gets them to engage, regardless, one way or another, you want to start with some sort of hook that wows them right away. Then the next place that you're typically going to go is you're going to go into some type of story. Now, there are some people who will not necessarily focus the speech on their own story. They'll focus it on someone else's story. Like I remember I listened to a keynote speech at it was some fraternity and sorority conference back when I was on the board of a Greek nonprofit. And the keynote speaker, he shared this, like, oh my God, this heart-wrenching story about this this guy who basically died in a car accident. And I just remember, oh my God, feeling like I was gonna cry the entire time, and I was very, very engrossed in the story. It wasn't his story. He was sharing someone else's story to emphasize his point. So it doesn't have to be yours. It could be someone else's. It could be a client's. But one way or another, I do find that weaving your content, your teaching points, into the story is a great way to create a captivating speech that keeps people hooked the whole way through, okay? Because they want to know the end of the story. You know, they could go without knowing, you know, the last bullet point in your 3-bullet point worth of content, but they want to know the end of the story. So it's a good way to keep them hooked and to keep them engaged and to kind of add some emotion, some emotional appeal to the content. That way the story is not so dry. I know when I first started as a speaker, a lot of my content, it was very, because I'm a nerd, you know, so I'm like, I'm all about the data and I'm about, like, I just want to, you know, get into it. I just want to get into the content, the meat. And I wasn't all about the emotion and like the stories and all of that. But I noticed that it made my talks a little boring and made them dry. And I actually remember being on stage once before I knew this, before I had gotten trained in speaking. And I remember doing one of those speeches that was very, very dry, very, very content driven. And halfway through the speech, I literally sighed. I remember being on stage and going, huh. And then I kept going. I finished. But I remember afterwards thinking, man, it's a good thing I have like a fun personality, because they would have been really freaking bored if not for that. Because I was really like, you know, goofy. And I think that kept them engaged. And it made it harder for them to notice that it was very dry content. But it was dry content, and it would have been way more captivating if I had weaved a story into it. So you're going to get them hooked. You're going to go into the story, and then you're going to talk about the status quo. So where they're at right now, what the problem is, what the issue is that you're addressing, like what is the thing that you're solving? Why does your message matter? Because this entire speech is going to be designed around delivering one core message. Chantel Adams, she calls it your North Star. There's one core message, like one thing you want them to walk away with. And why does that matter? Why does that one core message, why does it matter? Why is this speech important? That's what you want to drive home. You want to drive home why they should even continue listening to this and how this is going to be relevant to them. Then you're going to offer your solution. So your teaching points, your content. Typically, this is going to be 3 to 5 talking points, 3 to 5 lessons, tips, whatever you want to call it. I typically try to stick to 3. You could get away with 5. I find that 3 is like a really good place to be at, but 3 to 5 main teaching points. So basically, you're going to take that big message, that big takeaway, that big lesson, that big idea, and you're going to break it down into 3 to 5 talking points. And that's your solution. Your solution is your steps. Your solution is essentially your signature system. Then you're going to go into the next steps, which is essentially your call to action, your offer, your, you know, whatever you want them to do with you next. If that's like a free offer, if that's a paid offer, whatever, whatever it is that you're offering to them. And typically you do want your speeches to have some sort of call to action. There are some stages and opportunities that won't allow you to, and, you know, we can talk later about what to do in that case if you guys are curious, but if you're allowed, you should have some sort of call to action. And then finally, you do your parting words. So you want to, you don't want to like do the call to action and then just end it there. You know, you want to impart some wisdom in them as they leave. Like, what is the last thing that you want them to remember? And so typically this is kind of wrapping up all of your big ideas into just a couple core parting words for them. Think of it as like your swan song, you know, this is how you're going to end the speech on a big bang, a big note. So these are the steps that you, or these are the talking points within your signature speech. You're going to start with a hook, go into the story, talk about the status quo, offer your solution, which is your main talking points, your 3 to 5 lessons, explain the next steps, so your call to action, and then, you know, some parting wisdom. So let me just show you an example of this, and then we can open it up for Q&A. So in the example, I'm just going to essentially walk you through my Work Smarter Blueprint speech. So this is the TED-style speech that I did in Canada. It's my signature speech. And it really follows this format, so it'll show you, it'll illustrate for you how you actually can weave this into a talk. All right, so again, the first thing you want to start with is that hook. And I said you can do it in a couple of different ways. You can do it using a shocking story, a shocking statistic. You can do it with a question. I personally chose to start with a question. So I will immediately go out on stage and I'll say, how many of you have ever heard from a family member, a teacher, a coach, a mentor, just someone in your life that you have to hustle or sacrifice in order to be successful? Just a quick show of hands, and then I'll raise my hand. And I might have a couple plants in the audience who I've said, hey, when I asked this question in the beginning, can you just make sure you raise your hand so everyone else does too? So I might have some plants in the audience, but I will raise my hand and I'll ask this question, and they'll raise their hands. And you want to make sure that it's a question that you're pretty sure they're going to say yes to. You're pretty sure they're going to raise their hand for it. So that's how I start my speech. That's my hook. Then I do something a little different, which is I actually weave my story into everything else. So I don't just do story, status quo, solution. I weave the story in the whole way through. So I go from the hook into the status quo using story to illustrate the status quo. So let me get this up. Okay. So here's where it goes. Yes, like many of you, I was led to believe that I needed to hustle. You see, I grew up dirt poor with a drug addicted father and abusive stepfather wanting to escape that home, that lifestyle. And I made it a point in my heart and in my mind that I was not going to be in that situation forever. So naturally, I became an overachieving nerd who was everything about getting it done, doing it right, going all out, full in, working hard, putting in the time and the hustle, because that is what I believed was truly the key to succeeding and walking away from all of this. And I remember my senior year of high school opening up an email from Johns Hopkins University, a top 15 university in the entire world, thinking, crap, this isn't like the movies at all. I didn't get a big envelope in the mail. I must have gotten rejected. I clicked to open the email, and I got a full ride scholarship. I remember thinking, this is it. This is the success I worked so hard for. And then that summer, before I entered Johns Hopkins, my life changed forever. On June 17th, 2008, I walked out of the dentist's office. I had just gotten my braces off. And I was walking across the street when out of nowhere came an 80-year-old man driving his minivan going 50 miles an hour. I turned my head. As the car collided with my leg, my head shattered his windshield and everything went black. And it was in that moment, waking up in the recovery room of shock trauma, being told that I was going to have to learn how to walk again, that I had my first realization. I was going to have to start my life all over again from scratch. That realization and, you know, getting hit by the car was more painful than giving birth, I promise you. And yet the way that I did it was by building a strong foundation with a support system of my mom, my nurses, the doctors, the crutches, the wheelchairs, my meds, and my hard work. So for me, even up until that moment, it was all in. It was about me doing the work, me showing up. As long as I worked hard, I would walk again. I would be successful. And you know, I was successful by society standards. In all those years of being top of my class, valedictorian of every school I ever attended, being president of every club, sports, society, getting in a top 15 university and graduating with honors in three majors in the same time it takes most people to get one degree while I was recovering from a car accident and pregnant with my first child, I was freaking smart. And yet, even as I started my journey as an entrepreneur, being that smart cookie I am, and I bet a lot of you are brilliant too, I still chose to work hard instead of smart. Until there was a point when I had my second realization. If I had died in that car accident, my entire life would have been hard work, not happiness. So I wasn't actually successful because I wasn't happy. So we're all smart here, but today I'm going to show you a new and different kind of smart. Okay, so that's essentially how I start off. Hold on, let me get back to the... There we go. Okay, so that's essentially how I do the story with the initial status quo. I'm essentially sharing my story to set up the message that working hard is what we're all essentially told we're supposed to do. Society tells us that we're supposed to work hard if we want to be successful. And I bought into that at first, but it's not true. So that I'm sharing my story in order to set up that initial message. That's the problem. The problem is society tells you you have to work hard, and maybe that means you're successful by society standards, but if you're not actually happy, you're not really successful. Okay, so that's me setting up that initial problem, that initial flawed idea using my story. Then I go in to talk about the solution. And so here I'm really sharing my three tips: leverage, automate, delegate. So I'm not actually going to go and share all three. I'm just going to give you one as an example. All right, let me find this here. All right, so then I'll go on and I'll say there are three steps to working smarter, not harder. And the first one I discovered with a little bit of resistance. You see, the reason why I worked so hard when I first started my coaching business is because I really care about the success of my clients. And I thought that the only way to truly deliver was to work my butt off. And yet now I know the opposite is actually true. I can give serious results with less work and less overwhelm for myself and for my clients. And it all started when someone told me, Amanda, you gotta stop doing one-on-one. You gotta start leveraging your time and doing group coaching programs. Now, I'm a little bit of a rebel, so I said, All right. But I'm going to launch a group program, but I'm going to do it my way. I'm going to overgive, overdeliver, and give in so much content, bonuses, and access that it's going to sell like gangbusters, and everyone's going to get massive results. Well, can you guess what happens? Yeah, I ended up overworking everyone, myself and my clients. And it was then that I recalled the conversation with my physical therapist after the car accident. I told him, look, all I need to be able to do is to walk on that Johns Hopkins University campus in September. I've got 3 months. How can you get me walking as fast as possible? I wasn't worried about how he got me there, how many appointments it would take. All that mattered to me was that he got me walking as fast as possible. And that's when I realized everyone's definition of leverage is incomplete. It isn't about just switching from one-on-one to a group platform. The real definition of leverage is strategically creating offers that create the maximum transformation for your clients with minimum work for you and your clients. Your clients don't come to you for information or access. They come to you for transformation, for results. So ask yourself, how can you get the biggest results possible with the least amount of effort on everyone? I asked myself that question, and I turned a 12-month, 12-module program into a one-day workshop. And suddenly, I had clients generating $16,000 from their first webinars, $5,000 and $10,000 just from sending 3 emails to their list. So that's step number one. That's leverage. Maximum transformation, minimum effort. All right. So that's just my first tip. That's just the first, hold on, let me go back. There we go. That's just my first tip that I share in the speech. Like I said, I'm not going to go through all three. That just gives you one example, but I want you to notice how I brought the story back in. So while I was teaching the content, I then went back to the initial story that I shared. I said, you know, I went back and I thought about when I was in physical therapy recovering from that car accident and the lesson I learned there. Because I wanted it to tie in the whole way through and not feel like it was just some random story. Like, it was important. It was integral to my realizations. And it kind of gives this feeling of interconnectedness to everything that you're saying in your speech, when the beginning, middle, and end, they all feel like they were meant for each other. Kind of like it's kind of like a story. It's not just random pieces that you're kind of throwing in together. You want it to feel like it's, you know, it's weaving together. It's making sense together. So I brought that story back into the content. Now, in this particular speech, I did not have a call to action because I wasn't allowed to. So what I'll actually do is I will write the speech without a call to action, and then based on where I'm talking, I will adjust it. So if there's no pitch allowed, I'll just use, you know, the exact speech I have. If I'm allowed to do something free, I'll adjust the speech slightly for, you know, whatever free thing that I have that I think makes the most sense at that time with that audience. And if it's a paid thing, again, I'll adjust it and I'll, you know, figure out what makes sense for that audience. So in this example, I'm going to skip past this. And then I get to the parting words. So I'll do, like I said, the question in the beginning is the hook, the story, and I'll talk about the status quo and set up that idea of everyone is taught that they have to hustle, they have to sacrifice in order to be successful. And they're taught that success is, you know, accolades and awards and valedictorian and all these things, but that's not really right. What's the truth is that that's just society's standards of success, but really success is happiness. So I share the story, weave that in for the status quo. Then I go on to talk about my solutions, which is leverage, automate, delegate, and I weave the story back in for each of those tips. Next steps, the pitch, I'll adjust based on where I'm talking. And then the parting words, what I'll say there is, I'll say, now what it all comes down to is we as entrepreneurs, we really want to maximize our impact, grow our businesses, and feel financially secure. But we also want a life, strong relationships, time for family and for ourselves. And the only way to get all of that right now is to work smarter, not harder, through leverage, automation, and delegation. Now, it's okay if before you came here today, you didn't know this. It's not too late. If it wasn't too late for me, that moment, it all came so close to my life being over. And I looked at my life and I realized I wasn't happy and I didn't want to go out that way. So in this moment, is this the way you want to go out? Are you truly happy with how your business and your life is right now? And if not, will you dedicate your time and your energy to learning how to leverage, automate, and delegate? Because it truly is the foundation that you need to build the success that you desire while living a life that you love. Alrighty. So that's how I end it. And you want to notice how I recap the important points. Like I recap the overall message. I say the way to do that is to work smarter, not harder. So I bring in the big idea and then I recap the tips. I recap the solution, leverage, automate, delegate. And then I also weave the story back in. It wasn't too late for me the moment it all came so close to my life being over. So it's not too late for you either. So I bring it back to the story. And then I give them some points and questions to think about now that the speech is over. So that's my example for how you can use these different pieces of the speech to create your own talk. Now, I do want to make one important note here before we get into the Q&A, which is that what I've just shared with you, these different steps of a talk, so the hook, the story, the status quo, the solution, the next steps, the parting words, all of that, it can be expanded upon or collapsed to a variety of different speech lengths. You can collapse that and do it in 10 minutes. Like the speech I just shared with you, it's a 10-minute speech. It's a TED-style speech. But I could also 100% expand it and make it a 60-minute speech if I needed to. So some platforms, they're going to ask for you to have a short speech. Other ones are going to ask for you to have a long speech. Some platforms, they're not going to allow you to pitch at all. Others will only allow for you to do a free pitch, and some will let you do paid. So just know that you will adjust the speech as needed. So what I recommend is you usually just kind of start with a not even like a rough version of your start with like the ideal version of your speech. Like if you could pick the exact way that you wanted to do this, whether it's 10 minutes, 60 minutes with a free pitch, a paid pitch, whatever, start writing that ideal version. And then just as you get booked, adjust it as necessary. That's totally normal. Speakers do it all the time. So I'm going to do a quick little recap and then I'll open it for Q&A. So here's the recap. A signature speech is a virtual or in-person presentation or talk that you repeatedly deliver and become known for. It conveys your core message, setting the audience in the exact frame of mind that you need them to be to buy your core paid offers. If you plan on speaking live or speaking virtually, whether that's on stages, podcasts, telesummits, or even if it's just on webinars, you need a signature speech. But you don't actually have to create it right now. You could start with just creating the title, the description, and the marketing material, like your one sheets, and then wait until you're booked to actually write the speech. In order to come up with your topics, so your talk titles, what the speeches are going to generally be about, I recommend that you figure out your signature system. So determine your point A for your ideal clients. Where are they starting now? Figure out your point B. Where are you going to take them? And then what are the steps in between? Because once you have that entire system, the overview of those steps, that's a signature speech. You could also pull steps out and have speeches on specific steps in your signature system. Once you actually get to the point where you're going to develop the speech and write it out, here are some core components that you can weave into the talk. You can start with a hook, whether that be a question, a shocking statistic, a shocking story, whatever, something to get them to go, wow, in the very beginning, to sit up, get their back straight, eyes locked on you so they listen the rest of the way through. Then you can kind of go into the, and you could do what I do, and you could kind of weave the story in the whole way through, or just kind of start talking about your story or someone else's story. Like I said, it doesn't always have to be yours. You could illustrate your point through someone else's story or through just like a general metaphor the entire way through. But in some way, shape, or form, weave the content and the message in through some sort of story or metaphor. Then you want to talk about the status quo. So why is this message important? Why does it matter? What is the problem that it's going to solve? Then go into the solution, which is your content, your 3 to 5 main steps or tips. So break down that message into 3 to 5 lessons. Then you're going to go into your next step, so your call to action. And that will really vary depending upon what, you know, where you're talking and what their requirements are. And then finally, you'll end with some parting words. And what I like to do there is I like to repeat the core message, recap the 3 to 5 main points, bring the speech back full circle, and then end with like a pointed question or just like a big like, wow, you know, and then, so that's the outline. Those are the components of the speech. So finally, just write the ideal version of the speech and know that, you know, you might need to adjust it based on the requirements of wherever you're talking. So there you go, guys. That is signature talk. So your homework, your action step from this is, I really just want you to, for now, decide on your signature speech topics. If you want like bonus points, you can go as far as to create your one sheets for it. Like I said, you don't have to actually write them because you don't need to write them until you're booked for the talks. So at minimum, decide on your signature speech topics. And like I said, I recommend 1 to 4. If you want bonus points, you can grow and create the one sheets, but that's really all you need to do for now. You can write them later. All right. So that's your homework. If you're watching the replay and you have any questions or you want to run your talk topic ideas by us, feel free to post in the Facebook group and let us know. If you're here live, I'm going to go ahead and open it up for Q&A right now. But you guys on the replay, post in the Facebook group, let me know your ahas, your questions, your talk topics, all of that good stuff. Have fun with the homework, and I hope you guys enjoy this. All righty. So I'm going to save this replay, and we are good. Okay, Minling was just messaging me. All right, so let's go ahead and open it up for Q&A, and I'll check the Q&A box.
Yeah, Amber, if you have a question, press star 2 because we have just a few minutes for this portion, but we can also probably talk about it during the Q&A when other people join.
I imagine so. Okay, so Amber says, Amanda, I have a speech lined up in January where I'm not allowed to pitch myself or a specific brand. What do you recommend to do in that case? All right. So, Amber, for one, I would ask them just to make crystal clear, you're not allowed to pitch anything at all. Like, are you allowed to pitch something free? Even if you're not allowed to pitch something paid, are you allowed to give handouts? Like, what are you allowed to do? Because sometimes these people who host these events, they are not super specific, and you have to really kind of ask these questions to see what you're allowed to do. If you're allowed to offer handouts, then that's one good way to do a pitch without actually doing a pitch on stage, because then the handout can have a pitch in it. Like, you know, it could have recaps of what you're talking about in the talk and then have like a free gift call to action at the end of the handout. Another thing that you can do is you can organize a little mini mastermind or secret VIP masterminds with some of the members of the, some of the attendees of the event. So like if you meet someone who you really like and you're talking to them at the event and they're in the audience, you know, you can tell them, hey, you know, I'm organizing a little get together, just like, you know, a little secret VIP mini mastermind type of thing in my room later. Would you be interested in attending? And you can just give them the information for when it's going to be, where it's going to be. And you can get some of those, like the key people that you're talking to in the room into that little mini mastermind and then pitch them at the mastermind, because that's like totally your own thing, you know, the host doesn't have any control over.
And something that happened, like when I was doing a speech, she said there was no, you know, pitches. You can put your like website at the end of your slide, like on a thank you slide, so people can write it down. You can also have like, you know, some people will come up to you afterwards and want to actually work with you. So I got people's numbers and scheduled calls with them. So it wasn't really pitching. They came and approached me after I was done with the talk because they really liked what I said, and I was able to connect with them outside afterwards as well too. So if there's somebody that you want to do like a call with, you can also do that.
Yeah, definitely. Let's see what else. And, you know, some of these events, and I'm thinking in person right now, by the way, some of them, if they don't allow the speakers to pitch, they might sometimes at least have sponsors available, like sponsorship booths. And I've made a shiz ton of money off of sponsoring events and having booths at the events, because the booths, it's usually like you pay to get a spot as a sponsor. And then what you do at your booth is like, that's totally on you. So I'll typically get if I'm like really feeling an event, I'll get a sponsorship booth. And then at the booth, I'll have a place for people to give me their business cards and to sign up for calls or to sign up for a specific offer at the booth as well. All right. Lafay says, really great info. Thank you, ladies. You are very welcome. And then if you're on the phone line and you have questions, you can press *2. If you're in the Q&A box, you can throw if you're on the computer, you can throw your questions in the Q&A box.
I think you covered everything, Amanda.
No questions. I did my who, what, where, when, why, and how type of thing. So, like, I try to anticipate what all the questions are going to be and just, like, bang it all out.
Exactly. And if you guys want, like Amanda said, post your signature talk, like, once you come up with it in the Facebook group. Oh, we have somebody, Sherilyn.
Sherilyn, I unmuted you. Go ahead.
Thank you. So my question is, when we are – being on podcasts and so forth, would you recommend that we go ahead and use our signature speech? And do you have recommendations of how to adjust it for an interview?
Oh, for an interview. Gotcha. So, yeah, actually, I do recommend that you do your signature speech. Now, here's the thing. So this is a little bit tricky or nuanced. I do recommend that you do your signature speeches on podcast interviews for a couple reasons. Number one, that's going to allow for you to kind of get practice and get good at it before you do it on stage. Number two, they're designed to get people into your world with a specific frame of mind. So there's a reason why they're your signature talks, right? So it makes sense that you should want that to be the content that you're teaching. Now, the tricky part about it is if you're on 50 podcasts and every single solitary podcast you're teaching the same stuff, it's going to be hard for you to promote it to your audience, which is typically good practice. Like if you're a guest on someone's podcast, you really should share the episode. But if every single solitary episode, like if I did every single solitary podcast interview with my Work Smarter Blueprint and they titled it the Work Smarter Blueprint, I'd be sharing the same thing every time and my audience would get really bored of it. So what I like to do instead is I try to, and this is where I say it's like a little bit nuanced, is I try to teach the same content, but maybe adjust the angle ever so slightly, or at least adjust the title slightly each time that I deliver it.
And I also would mention, like, sometimes a podcast, they do it interview style, so you want to get clear with your podcast person who's interviewing with you, or you, like, what the style is, if you're just coming here to talk, or if they're going to do interviews. If they're doing interviews, then you can just make sure that, you know, some podcast hosts ask, like, okay, what do you want to cover? So you can have your bullet points in there, and then you can interject some of those stories into those bullet points as you're talking, so it's a little bit more free flow than an actual speech, if that makes sense. Because sometimes, you know, on a podcast, it's more an interview.
Yeah, I have found that on podcasts, there's typically two kinds of interviews. One where they're just purely interviewing you on your story. And so in that case, you might not get into your content, but you will 100% definitely share your big idea. Because your big idea typically came, like, you realized it through whatever happened to you, your story. Your story typically leads into that big idea. So you won't get to teach the content, but you'll still get to teach the big idea from your talk in those types of interviews. Or the other type of interview I find with podcasts are ones that talk about your story and your content. And those, it's perfect because that's what your speech is. Your speech is stories and content. So nine times out of ten, I'm getting to deliver my story and my content in these interviews. Sometimes I need to give them questions in advance or tell them in advance what I want to talk about. But you can do that. Like, typically in a podcast interview, they're not going to press record right away. You're going to come on the line and they're going to kind of prep you, and you're going to tell them sort of what you're thinking. And then once you guys are good to go, they'll say, okay, I'm going to hit record now. You ready? And you'll say, yeah, and they'll hit record and you'll get going. So you'll get to figure that out before you actually start the interview.
Awesome. Thank you.
Sure, sure. All right. Someone in Michigan, you are unmuted.
And just before we go, we have about a minute before our Q&A call.
Yeah, I'm not really sure how that's going to work because I set up two different lines.
Yeah, I think we're going to have to hop over to the other line, and maybe we answer this question on the other line because it is
okay. Yeah,
let's
do that.
Okay, so if you're calling from Michigan, Ann Arbor, with a 734 number, we're going to call on you first. So everybody, I'm sorry, I think we have to somehow get to the other Q&A session.
Let me see. Actually, I think they're hooked up together.
Oh, is it? Oh, okay.
Yeah,
oh,
I'm.
Can we just re-record it? We start a new recording. Okay.
Yeah, cool. That's what I'm. Hold on 1 second. Look at you, Instantel seminar. Solving problems for us. Let me see. Okay, so I can't see the Q&As in this other one, but I can see it in – okay. All right, cool. So I've got the new Q&A. So this is now officially like the group Q&A with everyone. And if you want to keep asking follow-up questions from the Signature Talk Workshop, you're welcome to do that. If you want to ask other questions, that's also fine. But it's like free-for-all now, okay? Whoever's in Ann Arbor, Michigan, you are unmuted and you are, we're ready for you.
Hi, Amanda. It's Amber again. I have a kind of an interesting question. My speech that I've been hired to do in January is on goal setting for salon professionals.
Okay.
I've achieved a lot of things in 5 years, so I have a really good background on how to set goals and get them done. But my business that I am really trying to grow is my personal salon spa business and my skincare line. So do you recommend that I have two speeches? One would be on skincare knowledge, which would be something that I would do virtually. And then also having the speech that just kind of gets me and my brand out into the skincare universe that I do at more professional events and not customer-facing events?
Those sound like two totally different niches, like two totally different businesses.
They are.
Yeah, so you would have different talks for each business. So, like, for example, the Fame Effect, this business here that I do with Minling, we talk about branding and PR essentially are, like, the two core topics that we discuss. So we're mm-hmm. going to have signature talks about branding and PR. But then in Market Like a Nerd, I talk about working smarter, not harder. So I have signature talks about working smarter, not harder. So each business, based on the message and the niche, they're going to have their own signature talks.
Can I put both of those talks on the same media page?
I think so.
I don't know that I would, though.
Well, it's two different audiences, but unless she wants to, like, create another brand around her, are you going to help people in the industry later on? Is that something that you desire to do, help people build their businesses?
Yes.
Do you have a separate website for it yet?
No.
Okay. Have you sold any products or any services in coaching yet?
No, I've done it more one-on-one or in small groups.
Okay. Well, so maybe for now, you can just weave it into your existing site. But once you start wanting to go into coaching hard, you're going to have to think about it as a separate business and go about it in the same way you did your skincare business. You're going to want your own coaching website, your own coaching list, your own coaching talks.
Okay.
Perfect. And on your media page, you can just write, like, this is who it's for as well, too, your speeches, so that when people come, they can see the distinction.
Perfect. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. So I know in the signature talk workshop Q&A box, there was another, hold on, let me see. There it is. Lima said, can you give us information about whether to use or how to use slides with our talks? Now let me jump back here. Okay, there we go. All right, so slides are definitely necessary if you're going to have statistics or case studies in your talk. If you have stories or metaphors, maybe. You don't necessarily need them in that case.
I also, in my speech, like, I had just basic, I didn't put a lot of words on it. Maybe I would have one word or one image, and then I would mm-hmm. talk about it. So, like, I wasn't doing it as a presentation. So you mm-hmm. want to make sure your slides will help give cues to where you are and help the audience follow, but it's not bullet point after bullet point after bullet point of information. The best slides for signature talks are not presentation slides. They are going to be very clean, very simple, maybe like one or two words. For example, when I was talking about my signature speech, I had a process, and I just had the words for each of the process. So if mm-hmm. in Amanda's case, it would be, since we all know that one, it would be automate. She could have a word automate behind her, mm-hmm. and then as she's talking about that section, she'll have that word behind her so people know where they are in the story.
Yeah. That's really, really good advice. So, yeah, the slides, they give people a place to look to if they need to, like, jot down, like, a note or remember where you're at in the speech. Or in some cases, the pictures, they create an emotion that matches whatever emotion you're trying to create in the talk. Or in some cases, the slides will give cues. So, like, there's one speech I did where I would have everyone go, say, yes, Amanda. And then they would go, yes, Amanda. And so the slide, it said, say yes, Amanda. So it gave them that cue. But yeah, you definitely don't read off of them. So you don't want to have like a ton of stuff on the slides because then you'll be looking backwards and that's super unprofessional. Like you definitely, I remember one event I went to where like everyone either had slides that had a shit ton of text on them, or they actually had cards in their hand and they were reading from the cards and it looked so unprofessional. You definitely want to memorize the speech, but then you could use the slides as like cues for yourself for where you're at and like just like quick little reminders for yourself for what to say next. But try to have it as memorized as possible so that you don't need to just be, you don't need to read. You can actually look at the audience while you're talking.
One more thing is like, if you want to look at good signature speeches, look at TED Talks.
Because
they, you know, those are really good. And you can see that they're using the slides to enhance the experience, but they're not relying on the slides. So they might have, like Amanda said, images that convey, like, the emotion and what they want to get across, or just one word to support what they are saying. So think of your slides as support, not your talk and not your presentation.
I love that. Actually, I remember when I first started getting into speaking, I was very obsessed with TED Talks, and I would go and I would watch all these TED Talks, and it was really dorky. I would get my phone out, and I would be watching on my computer, and then on my phone, I would be on the, you know, like the Notes app. On the Notes app, I would be writing what they were doing in the speech. Like, oh, okay, he opened up with a story. Oh, then he went on to share statistics. Oh, he's talking about the status quo right now. And I would like evaluate what was happening in the TED Talk. And I did it over and over and over again so that I could try and see if there was like themes in how people did TED Talks. And it gave me some, it gave me like a framework, and it gave me some inspiration and motivation for getting my talks done. They do some crafty stuff in the TED Talks.
They do. They're good. And they're engaging, too. So that's why I recommend watching them. Sherilyn has another question.
All righty. Sherilyn, you are unmuted.
Hi. Thank you. So I have a question. My question is, do you have some tips about creating slides fast? And also recommendations about where to get slide decks done and how much is a good amount for an investment for a slide deck.
So I personally have some rinse and repeatable slide decks created where it's basically like an image that I put onto a PowerPoint slide and then I put the text over top of it. So I've got like, actually the ones that you saw here, have you noticed in our modules, it's been the same sort of, you know, the same sort of slide. Whoa, that was really loud. I don't know what that was. But it's the same slides every single time, and we just put the text over it. So we got those slides designed, I believe, through Design Pickle, and that's what I did in the past. But I'm sure you could even find someone on Fiverr who would do it, to be honest.
Yeah, and if you're doing simple slides, it doesn't have to be, like, anything, you know, big. For example, like, I do my own. You can get fonts on Creative Market, you know, for your own brand if you want to pick a font and just you know, over a black background or something. Again, the slides don't have to look, you know, it has to look professional and nice, but it doesn't have to be overly done because you don't want it to take away from your presentation as well. It's there to support you.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you. Great.
Yeah. All right, let me see if we got anything in these Q&A boxes.
If you have a question, press *2.
Okay, those are all the Q&A box questions from the Signature Talk Workshop. And sorry, the system's taking forever. And there's no Q&A, there's no questions in the Q&A box for the general Q&A. So it's just if people have questions, you can press *2.
And if not, we'll just have fun here talking to ourselves. I'm just kidding.
What's new?
I'm just kidding. Yeah, we have fun a lot. Should we go to like the people that were on? Maybe like start with Tanika and then.
Sure. Let's do that. So Tanika, we're gonna go ahead and unmute you. Is there anything we can do to help you?
Can you hear me?
Yep.
I can't think of anything because I'm like right in the middle of like everything as far as, I'm working on my bio right now. Cool. I have half of my media page up.
Awesome.
So hopefully I'll have that, the most of it finished today. There's a couple of other podcasts that I was on, and I'm waiting to get their official logos and a testimonial from them. So I may move forward without it just for now, just so I can have something complete. Mm-hmm. Like I'm doing a whole bunch of stuff, but nothing's complete yet. So other than that, and I still haven't done my live video, I have a tendency to self-sabotage. So I'm hoping that's not the point. And last week was totally horrible with all the Mercury retrograde and the new moon and the eclipse and all this other stuff going on. It was just interesting.
Oh, God. Don't even talk to me about that freaking eclipse. Do you know never get my menstrual cycle when I am on birth control, and I freaking got it just on the eclipse and then it went away? I was so angry.
Oh, it's been so crazy. And I'm not extremely woo-woo, but that stuff, all that science and energy and stuff, I really, really, it's really been affecting me. So, other than that, I'm going.
Awesome. And let me know when your media page is up, and done is better than perfect, so that I can get it off to the Prophets and Fauna.
Yes.
So that she can take a look at what you have.
Okay. Awesome. Hopefully today. That's my goal.
Cool. And just remember, you can definitely add to the media page. Like, the media page is going to be something you're constantly updating. Like, every time I get featured somewhere, most every time if I'm on my game, I will add it to the media page. And then there are some times when I forget, or I'm tired, or I just don't feel like doing it. And then, you know, like every quarter or so, I'll go and I'll look myself up in Google and I'll find the places I forgot to add, and I'll go and I'll add it. So it's one of those things that, you know, you're going to be updating over time. So you might as well just get it finished, not get it, you know, not make it perfect, but just have it done good enough so that Minling can use it.
Yeah, that's what I've been struggling with, was trying to make it perfect. And finally I said, oh, forget it. Let me just put something on there. So that's why.
Yeah, work on your perfectionism.
I know. It's really horrible, and it's really been holding me back for years, actually.
Well, this is an opportunity to practice. You have a safe space in the Facebook group. So, you know, that's why I encourage you to do the video, to announce, like, your direction to share.
I want it to be perfect.
Don't worry about it. Just do it.
Okay. I will. Cool. So this has been great, though. This has been amazing. Y'all are really pushing me to get this ish done.
Yeah. You know, I used to be one of those people, too, where I would get really, really trapped in perfectionism. Mm-hmm. And then I realized that if I get something out there, there's at least a chance that people will buy from me. There's at least a chance that it'll make a difference. But if I keep holding back, it's guaranteed that nothing will happen. Yeah. And, I realize that, you know, it's impossible for me to be perfect with everything. And there's just so much shit you have to do in business. Like, literally, like the to-do list ends up being really endless. So there's always going to be at least something that falls behind, and you just kind of have to accept it and go with it. Yeah. Like, I remember a few months back, there was someone who kept commenting on one of my ads saying I really need to fix it on mobile, and I should really check my stuff on mobile before I put it live. And I was like, thanks, but I really don't care. Like, it's done. It's out there. So it's good enough, and I'll worry about mobile later. And that's, you know what? That funnel made money. So yeah, it wasn't perfect on mobile, but I got it out there and it was worth it.
Okay. I have to keep that in mind for sure.
Yeah.
Awesome. All right. Gonna mute you real quick.
Tamisha, I think, is probably next.
Tamisha, yep.
All right. Hey, Tamisha, we just unmuted you.
Oh, you're coming in very soft.
You sound really far away.
I was going to say. It's like you're not even close to your phone.
Get out of the cave.
Do you have a headset in? Maybe it's not plugged in all the way.
She's speaking English?
Tamisha, we might have to come back to you and ask if you want to.
Mm-hmm.
It sounds gibberish right now.
Yeah, I don't speak whatever language you're speaking right now, Tamisha. I mean, I'm good at a lot of languages, but not that one.
Did you know Amanda speaks Chinese or Mandarin?
Yeah.
And Russian, by the way, when she's drunk.
Yeah.
That's a fun fact.
When I'm drunk, that's like a good little disclaimer to have there. All right, so Tamisha, we're going to mute you. When you figure whatever that is out, you can press star 2 and raise your hand, okay? All right. Ginger, you are now unmuted. Are you there?
Yes, I am. I actually tried star 2 a whole bunch of times.
Oh.
It didn't go through.
Oh, you know what? I wonder if it's showing up on the other, because right now I have two events open up in Instant Teleseminar, one for the talk workshop and one for the Q&A.
No, I tried it in the other one too.
Oh.
I tried it in the other one too and it didn't go through.
Oh, that's weird.
Well, you're here now.
Here I am. Yes, that's the thing. I figured as long as you were going around, you'd get to me eventually. So
how can we help?
This is super, super, super helpful. So I'm a little bit all over the place. I'll try to coalesce my thoughts about my talk. So this is a question about my talk. And specifically, I'm curious about if you just have any thoughts just off the top of your head about a title. So I'm obviously, as you know, Amanda and Minling, because Amanda, you've done me for a long time. I'm a book coach. And I have gotten really clear, this program has been super helpful to me because I've gotten really clear that my ideal audience is smart, fierce, successful people with a story to tell. So that's just like, that crosses so many, it's kind of like what you were talking about in the signature talk thing. It's really, it's a kind of person that can be an entrepreneur, it can be a coach, it can be, you know, a business person. It can be in lots of different areas. But those are the clients that I've had that I've loved working with and that have been really successful. That's who they are. So that was good to get that clear. I was talking with Minling about this last week. My disruptive message is that lots of people are out there talking about write a book in 6 weeks or write a book in 3 months. Like, well, sure, you can write a book in 3 months, but it won't be any good. It takes longer than that to write it. So it's a little bit opposite to your work smarter, not harder, because in a sense what I'm trying to tell people is it actually is hard work, but it's totally learnable, and that you kind of do yourself a disservice if you think it's too easy.
Mm-hmm.
You can really just end up frustrating yourself and taking a lot longer. If you don't understand it, you just have to learn the craft. That's the important part. It's totally learnable. It's completely doable, but you're going to have to learn it.
Do you have the steps of your system figured out?
I do. Yeah, I totally do. I have like a 4-step system of conceive, create, craft, and connect.
What was it? Conceive,
so you have an idea for a book, then you create the first draft, then you craft that in a revision, then you connect it with your ideal audience through publishing and marketing.
From concept to
connection. Yep, that's good.
So I just want to make sure that I'm understanding the question. Sure. What's the question?
Question is the title.
The title of your signature talk?
Yeah.
Okay, got it.
Because that kind of puts it all together, is that, you know, people think writing is kind of magic, but it actually is, you know, supported by, by craft underneath.
Mm-hmm.
So your idea has to have these steps of craft underneath in order for it to be successful. We were talking about this last week with like, oh, you can get an Amazon bestseller. Well, sure you can. It's really easy to do that. All you have to do is manipulate Amazon. But if you really want satisfaction, which will lead to an actually successful book because it will keep selling, it won't be just that instant bestseller. It actually will be a good book. Then you kind of have to go through this process. You don't kind of. You do have to.
Yeah, I'm just looking in my thesaurus to, because I like to, okay. I like to have right. alliteration in my stuff. So I'm trying to think of like.
I do too.
And you've got these nice C's. So I feel
yeah.
like people
yeah,
have to have the C's.
There's definitely nice C's. I don't know why this, when you said instant bestseller, mm-hmm. I know that's not what you want them to be. It's almost like
right.
be more than just a flash. It's kind of like be more than just a flash in the pants, like instant. You know, like people mm-hmm. that come like right away and then leave right away.
Yeah.
So it's like, I don't know what mm-hmm. that word is. And I almost think that like that's what you're trying to get. Like you're creating this lasting mm-hmm. legacy, and I don't know what the word mm-hmm. is. And maybe we can find a word that starts with a C.
That would be great.
Describe it,
like
but it's almost like.
In the thesaurus, the closest thing to legacy that starts with C is calling.
Calling. Okay. Mm-hmm. Okay. So I thought of this funny metaphor. It's like the difference between, like, Amanda, when you were talking about, you know, do you want to go out like this, working really hard?
Mm-hmm.
So is that really the way you want to go off the field? Or do you want to go out happy? It's like I thought about, like, sometimes I use that idea of a supernova, like of just being like bursting with creativity, like going out like that. Or do you want to go out like pitiful little Pluto that just got downgraded?
Huh. That's an interesting thought.
That was the metaphor that came to mind.
Huh. I could totally see that. And if you weave that in the whole way through the speech.
That could be fun, couldn't it?
Yeah.
Like a whole galactic thing.
Yeah. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Would that resonate with you in terms of like visually, would you be open to having like a galactic sort of visual brand?
Yeah, I definitely could. I have a son who loves NASA more than anything else in the universe, so he could help me find images. But it also has to do with, I work a lot with this idea that we're all creative. We actually are stardust. You know, we're our own being is calling for creativity. That's what we came here to do. Just mm-hmm. like the universe,
yeah.
you know, that we're exploding with creativity.
You said calling for creativity. Is there some way we can weave that in? Like, answer your call? I don't know. That's probably bad.
ED phone home.
Yeah, I think the tricky part about this is that it does seem kind of magical and like a calling and kind of spiritual, but it has this like really hardcore satisfaction and success factor in it as well, because writing a book can really help your business. You know, there it's like both things.
Detonate. So what I would recommend is you
yep.
post in the Facebook group.
Yep.
Just like write again your four steps and.
Yeah,
like
okay.
maybe like a one-liner about the niche, and then Minling and I can brainstorm
okay.
off the call about it. Because I know
so
for me,
great.
I like to sit
okay.
on things, and I like to go on the
yeah, me too.
Like mm-hmm. crazy, so it's
mm-hmm.
hard for me to come up with things right on the spot because I really think about them.
Oh, good. That's great. Yeah, so that's what I was saying. It's like I have these ideas that are kind of all over their place. They're starting to come together, but I feel like if I get the title for this thing, then it will really bring them together.
Yeah.
So that'd be great. I'll do it. Great.
Sounds
thank
good.
You.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
All right. Who was next? Let me see. Kelly, perhaps? Kelly, are you there?
Yes, I am.
Hey.
Hello. I've got kind of all sorts of things in the fire going on and just trying to prioritize. I've got a talk coming up in 3 weeks in California about bots, and so the workshop today was really, really helpful to kind of get my brain wrapped around that and
cool
get that stuff together. Yeah, I think where I'm at is just still trying to kind of hone that disruptive message. Like what is a good catchy line that summarizes kind of everything that I stand for. And we worked on that on a call with Minling. So I'll post about that in the Facebook group, I think, and yeah, and just try and get some feedback. And
okay, I'm sorry, there's a lot of echo coming from your thing, so I'm gonna mute you. Yeah, I'm gonna mute you as I talk, and then I'll unmute you when I'm done talking. What was I gonna say? All right, did you guys decide on whether to run with the brand idea that you had? I believe it was around like what's the word?
The elevation.
The aviation.
Yeah, it was instead of elevation, we were talking about distance, like going the distance, like as a visual, short and long haul. But yes,
Kelly, you're unmuted now.
Yes, definitely. And I think that ties in really nicely, and just kind of letting people know that it's about, they have to focus on their customer journey rather than focusing on the sale. You know, everybody wants to jump to the sale and focus on numbers and conversion rates. And, you know, we get all caught up in that kind of thing about it. But instead, if you look at your marketing from an overall picture of what journey, and that's, I think that works really well. We talked about like a flight plan, you know, journey your customer is traveling on. That will give you the sales. The sales will come naturally as a result of focusing on that.
Yeah, I like that a lot.
Okay.
Yeah, I do. I like that a lot. It kind of reminds me of this brand that I'm working on with my client D, the Freedom CEO. I can't remember if the website's like visible or not. I sent it to her like months ago, and I'm waiting for her to send me the placeholder so we can finish it. But I'll send you like the demo link so you can see and kind of get like a some inspiration.
Yeah, awesome. Cool.
Sure. And then if you need help brainstorming like how to condense it into a one-liner, I like doing that type of stuff. But again, that's another type of thing where I like really think about it and kind of craft it. So like I did that for Katrina earlier today. But if you post that in the Facebook group, I can, you know, I can work my magic from there.
Cool. Awesome. Yeah, that would be great. I will do that. And then if possible, I'd love to post the outline of my talk.
No. I'm just kidding.
Yeah, definitely post it.